Thank you, Claire and Maureen, for that reading. Have you ever said sorry? I dare not ask that question because I know at a point in time you have said sorry. And someone has said sorry to you too. But what if someone keeps saying sorry to you all the time? Do you become fed up with them? Do you take them seriously? Because they keep saying sorry. What do you call a person who says sorry all the time? I'm sure you have a name for that person. I'm not going to ask. I know there will be very interesting names, but keep it to yourselves for now. And so I'm going to ask all of us to play God today, as you mean you are God. And all of us, when we come to service, when we pray, we say sorry to God. What name will God give us then? And that reminds me of the apostles and Jesus Christ. Jesus had done almost everything with the apostles, the disciples. And you will be surprised at some of the questions they asked Jesus. So much so that it frustrates Jesus. And he asks, "Don't you get it? So all this while you don't know?" And so if that person keeps coming to you and apologizing, you tend to get that kind of reaction a little bit. When we come to service, confession is one of the attributes, one of the ingredients, a part of our service. For the people who know this, for us, who we know that confession is part of our service to God, we show nothing but a sign of humility. Knowing that we are not holy. We are all sinners. I'm going to read you a few passages and I'll tell you which is my favorite. Acts chapter 3, 19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. Listen out. Repent then. And do something. It didn't just say repent. When you repent, you've got to do something. Turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. You can repent and not turn to God, which means your sins are still intact. Nothing happens to them, according to these words in this passage. That times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. But the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. When you confess, you need to do something. He says, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Second Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The last one I've got here, Luke 15:10. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. If there is one scripture of what I've read here that makes me think a bit more, it will be James 5:16, the one that says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Who is a righteous person? This morning I'm just going to leave you with a lot of things to think about. We're not going to be able to go into it. I wish we could get time to go into it. Who is a righteous person? Okay, thank you. No, that's fine. Thank you, Jackie. I think I will be brave to ask the question, does God see a righteous person here in this house today? Please don't answer that question. Please. I'll leave God to answer that. But the part in this scripture which makes me love it is the fact that it says, pray for each other so that you may be healed. I am also going to leave you with something to think about. Who do you pray with? The temptation over there is, if you are not careful, the person you pray with, it can turn to something else. And I'm going to be brave to mention it. The temptation is, it could lead to gossip. I come to Robert, and I will call Robert because I know he can take it from me. I come to Robert, I say, Robert, I need your support. I need you to support me in prayers about an issue that I'm having with another person. Because, you know, we don't seem to get on very well. And I've told Robert all about it. Oh, yeah. And 2 days, 3 days later, or possibly 2 hours later, I hear it from Dory. Why? I would have gone to Dorin if I wanted Dorin to pray with me on that. Who do we pray with? God gives us this platform, a secure platform. Righteousness. I don't take somebody's demise, is the right word? Someone's shortcomings or shortfalls and harp on it. All in the name of I'm trying to help, but you're not helping. I think you're doing more damage than help. Confession and repentance. And so I get to know that Doreen has heard what I had confided in Robert. What happens? Will I forgive Robert? What is going to happen to the trust between me and Robert? We are in the same church. Why are you doing this to me, Robert? Or I didn't specifically say, please, Robert, just keep this to yourself and let's pray. I wasn't that clear enough. Pray for each other. Support each other. We leave everything to God in prayers. But the other challenge is, of course, Robert might have a good reason for informing Dory. Because that situation, Robert feels Dory has loads of experience in the harbor that. So it doesn't make Dory bad. After all, does it? Robert intended it good. His intentions was good. But the fact that it was me, it was about me, is just messing up the whole thing. You know, he didn't let me know that he was going to let Doreen know about that kind of situation over there. And it can be very muddy, you know, and it can be very disturbing. This could hinder my relationship with the church. Oh, after all, they are not that, you know. I can't trust them. It's happened. It has happened. And people have left their church. You will ask them, you will ask Solomon, I don't see you in church nowadays, for example. So what was going on? Oh, it's all right. It's just I'm busy. It's not about the busy. There is something that I'm really not necessarily want you to know. We need to guard against these little things. We need to be mindful of these little things. Confession. Right. Robert realized that he's offended me by not letting me know that he's informed Doreen about it because Doreen was. And then Robert apologizes to me. Don't forget, this is the 7th time Robert is apologizing to me. What am I going to do with Robert? And God is out there, and I come to God all the time. Forgive me as I forgive my transgressors. I do pray the Lord's Prayer every day. And when I get there, sometimes I pause a little bit. Have I actually forgiven the person? So, you know, there are some people who are really, really good in harboring things. And they will hold on to things for however, you'll be surprised. And let something happen. And then they will say, I remember in 2017, on the January 1st at 2 p.m., you did the same thing. Really? You've got all that space to store all of that? Okay, you are playing God. So what if God says, oh, okay, now let's see what you have done. Bring out the record book. What did you do on this date and this day and this day and this date and this day and this day and this day? You can't just keep up with it. How many times should we forgive if someone wrongs us? Not only 7 times, but 7 times 77. I would say 77 times, 77 times, 77. But, you know, we are human. And we will always do something that doesn't sit right with God. And if it doesn't sit right with God, big possibility is it won't sit right with me and Doreen and me and Robert. Pray for each other. Really, really encourage all of us. What we pray for, who we pray for, why we pray for, very, very important. And we bring them before God in all honesty and honesty. Who is your prayer partner? Do you pray at all? If you are a God, how many people have come to you with their prayer requests? I'm saying, let's play God. I say, you are God, yeah? How many people find it very attractive to come to you with their prayer requests? Please, I'm not saying we are all, no one is righteous, right? And just be with me. Don't think too much of outside the box. Just be yourself, and I'm being myself at the moment. But if I cannot be approached by my fellow church person, because they know that, and there is a saying, I don't know what you make of it. They say you are okro mouth. You know okro, who knows okro? Or okra? No? Do we know okra?
Yeah. Some people know ladies' fingers.
Ladies' fingers. Can you describe it? What color is it? Thank you. That was the word. That word will give it out. It's very slimy, isn't it? Very slimy. You know that one? Have you ever tasted it? No? Have you tasted it? Who has tasted it? Oh, yeah, a few hands there. Very slimy. And it's like when you are eating it, if you are not careful, it will go everywhere. It will go everywhere. Remember, I said if you are not careful, it will go everywhere. And that is what it is. That someone comes to you, confiding in you, with their requests, knowing that they are coming to a safe place. And then you let it go everywhere. You become okra mouth. It's not supposed to be. Instead, we are supposed to be each other's keeper, bringing, helping, supporting people to, yeah? I love 1 Corinthians 13. If one part of the body suffers, the whole part suffers. Yeah, the whole part. So we are a body of Christ as we sit here. If Dave Gorin is having a headache, it's not only his headache. It shouldn't be just for him. We should feel it too. Pauline and Kevin are husband and wife. If Pauline is not well, Kevin is in trouble. I will tell you, deep down, it is true. In a sense that you become concerned. You know, you become concerned. I was speaking to Joy yesterday, and I asked about Dennis. Oh, Dennis is all right. He's all right. He's asking me. He's
just, I should get on with it.
You know, Joy? Today, yes. So I was thinking Dennis would be a bit concerned. But deep down, you know, he's there with Joy. And so this is what we're saying. We are a big family. We need to have that confidence to the extent that we can trust. But again, I'm not saying just go about trusting, you know. I have to sound that kind of caution here. By all means, you will find someone that gel nicely, good, get on very well with your spirituality, with your faith level, you know, the strength of your faith. Go with them. Support them. But you'll be surprised that if Maureen have found that kind of support with Maureen, you'll be surprised how that can just move on, transcend to Henry, for example. One thing leads on to the other. I'm saying, repent. But before repentance, confess. When we come to service, we confess our sins, don't we? We need to confess our sins. Do we need to confess our sins when we pray to God? If not, then that is fine. I'm happy that there are no sinners in this room. Hallelujah. But I am a sinner, and I need to be forgiven. I will tell you why. You might think, oh, I haven't done anything wrong per se. I'm looking at last week. Actually, what did I do wrong? I've done really well. I don't really think. You are deceiving yourself, and the truth is not in you. 1 John 1:9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not with us. Because what you think is perfect in your eyes might not be perfect in the eyes of God. And that is why when we come to service, we say, God, forgive me if I've done anything wrong. And that is why in that Lord's Prayer, I love it. But do we actually do it? Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And we forgive them once, twice, three times, four times, maybe 10 times, and we are fed up already. But how many times does God forgive us? And he keeps forgiving us. We are being encouraged to confess and repent. We try to move away from it. And if you do, what happens? I'll take you to the court of law, for example. And if the accused own up to whatever they have done straight away, I think it makes the judge's work and the jury's work and all of the, it makes the whole process be easier, does it? Would you say so? It makes it easier. If it makes it easier, do you think it kind of influences on the decision of the judge? True? And that is humility, but there are some people who don't have that humility to accept that they've wronged. And they will drag and drag and carry on and hold their grounds. And so investigation upon investigation and looking into it and time. And finally, when they get to the bottom of it, they pay. If they get to the bottom of it, and the truth comes out, usually the sentence is very, you know. So we need the humility when we come to his presence to confess and to ask for forgiveness. Doing this to God and seeking this peace with one another. Those who cannot do that, we support them, we help them. Who have you helped? Can you see anyone who you have supported and helped over time? Bless you if you can do that. And I really encourage you to keep doing it. But if you haven't, here is your challenge. Do not give up on those who continuously say sorry to you, because your God and my God hasn't given up on us. And he continuously forgives us. I pray that we will be able to repent with sincere hearts, confess to one another, support one another in the light of God himself. I pray that we will not become fed up with one another. Assuming you are God, you are God. Assuming you are God. And they've come to you for the 99th time, coming to say sorry again. What will God do? Still forgive. But he says repent. You know, try and do something. Brothers and sisters in Christ, confession and repentance are not about guilt and shame. They are not. They are about liberation and renewal. They free us from the chains of sin and restore us to a right relationship with God. As David prayed, let us also cry out, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Remembering, how many times did David not go wrong? Yet God says he is a man of my own heart. You haven't done that many wrong yet. And so it is okay. Even David, if he, David, is a man of God's own heart. I don't think you've killed anyone yet, have you? David killed someone. You haven't, you know. That's a good take for you. If we should put it side by side, you haven't done worse. So do not beat yourself too much. Know that this morning God is saying to you, you are woman, a man of my own heart. God knows you by name and he has called you. And when you come to his presence, be assured that he is here, he hears you, and he will always be there for you. May the Lord bless us now and always. Amen.